I'm curious with you did a lot on Visage Fade to Grey, which is was voted as number one in its genre across Europe and still is today. Can you explain the significance to why it's lasted 36 years?
Fade to Grey, I'm not quite sure, to tell you the truth. Visage was a project born out of the demise of the band I was in at the time, the Rich Kids. So I may not have joined the Sex Pistols, but I ended up joining up with an original Sex Pistol, Glenn Matlock, a year or so after that incident in the streets of Glasgow. And the Rich Kids, when I joined them in 1977-78, were a great guitar-based band. And I bought a synthesizer and wanted to integrate the synthesizer with traditional rock instrumentation. And half the band hated it, and it broke the band up. So the half the band who liked it, who was Rusty Egan, the drummer, and myself, we put Visage, this concept, studio concept, where we could work with all our favorite musicians, the band Magazine, and Billy Curry, the keyboard player from Ultravox, who was still very much an ongoing band at the time. And we, over the space of a year, when we could find time to all get in the studio together, we made an album which featured the song Fade to Grey. And there was just something about that particular piece of music that just resonated with people. You know, it was one of the first kind of, electronic pop records to make it successful in the late 70s, early 80s. And it still resonates with people now. It's just something that, in a way, I suppose Vienna did the same kind of thing for Ultravox. It just caught people's imaginations. The strange thing is that they both happened at the same time. They both kind of charted. The albums charted at the same time. The singles charted at the same time. And it was maybe the beginning of that electronic, experimental, European dance music thing. You know, for the first time ever, dance music wasn't based on, American R&B. It wasn't based on, black soul music. This was extremely white and coming out of deepest, darkest Europe. So it was very, it was very white person dancing in music. So it wasn't really derived. In fact, the weird thing is that house music was, kind of embryonic in Chicago. And the guys who put that together and house music were influenced by Visage and Ultravox and, Kraftwerk. So they kind of took this very white dance music and turned it into something completely different, house music. So it's amazing how influences can kind of re-influence other genres.
What was your earliest influence on electronic music? Did you listen to it when you were a child with science fiction TV shows that have that kind of thing? What was that started you?
I didn't. I mean, I always found it fascinating that these noises could come out. There was a, I'm sure you guys get it down here, Doctor Who.
Yes.
I remember, as a kid, listening to the theme music of Doctor Who and wondering what on earth could make that kind of noise. And of course, it was created by the BBC's Radiophonic Workshop, and I saw a documentary on how they made it, a few years back. And it's fascinating how they managed to make anything out of the very, very basic oscillators and tape loops and things that they had. And they made one of the best pieces of electronic music ever. There's this woman at the in the bowels of the BBC.
Oh, that's Dahlia Derbyshire,
yes,
isn't it?
Thank you very much. There you go. So, well done you. That was fascinating. And also watching, there was a program called Tomorrow's World, which used to come on just before Top of the Pops on a Thursday evening. And everyone used to be sat around the television waiting for Top of the Pops because it was, music and fashion, which is everything that young people were interested in. And I saw someone with a guitar that made the sound of an organ. And I just thought this was really exciting. I mean, the possibilities of having an instrument that could make you play it like one instrument, but it makes the sound of a different instrument. And of course, that led on to a fascination with synthesizers, where you could make sounds that nobody else could even imagine. And that was just infinite to me. It was just so exciting.
Now, you've been in the industry for over 40 years, and it is something that is an achievement. And you've done Live Aid, and there was a bit of there's a historical moment there for you. Is there something that you want people to remember you for for what you have been doing and still doing and have done?
I don't know. I suppose if there was any kind of epitaph that, you know, I kind of did what I liked. People talk about your career, and it's funny because you speak to some people now and they go, oh, you're still doing it because you're off the public radar. And you think, well, okay, and there are very interesting reasons why I'm off the public radar. You know, back in the 90s when people expected me to jump on the kind of dance music, electronic techno thing, which a lot of people did, I refused to go there. I was seen as a kind of godfather of electronic music, but I didn't want to go down the route where, you know, DJs were remixing pieces of music and putting toneless, atonal, you know, bass synths running right across all the chords of my songs. I had done the electronic thing and was perfectly happy moving on and experimenting elsewhere. So the idea of making something musically worse in order to become commercially successful was abhorrent to me. So I refused to use the tools necessary at the time to attain your commercial success. And I thought it was much more interesting making musical success, which maybe not as many people hear, but something that I'd be happy going to my grave looking back and thinking, yeah, I did the right thing. I made the best music I could possibly make at any given time, irrespective of what anybody else was trying to pressure me into doing. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's the best thing you could possibly be remembered for, you know, just doing what you thought was right. And of course, the peaks in that will be the commercial success, you know, albeit, you know, Visage or you know, Vienna or you know, Live Aid, because that's our Band Aid, because that's what peaks in people's recognition. But it's not necessarily what I would think of as the big moments in my life.